Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today is Nick Landry. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Nick is a technical evangelist with Microsoft.
Yes.
A recent addition to the fine collection of technical evangelists we have here at Microsoft.
Yeah, after 10 years as an MVP, I finally landed in the mothership.
Excellent. So. And Nick is an expert on mobile development.
Yep.
As well as Azure.
Yep.
And also a speaker at the VS Live conference,
yes,
which is in town this week.
Awesome show.
Yes, which is why you're able to be here.
That's great.
So, yeah,
so
that's
thanks
cool.
for having me.
Thanks for being here. So you wrote an app. It's called Azure Chat R.
Azure Chatter.
Azure Chatter. I pronounced it wrong. It's Azure Chatter.
Azure Chatter.
I call it Azure Chat R myself. Azure Chatter.
It's not like Signal
it's not
R.
Signaler.
No,
it's Signal R.
But this one, it's like Flickr.
Chatter. Flickr,
like.
Or Flick R. It's like water, water, whatever.
Exactly. Any word with ER, you can create
exactly.
a new app name with it, like dropping the E.
There you go.
So,
so Azure Chatter.
Azure Chatter.
Which is a cross-platform app. It's in the store.
Yes. Well, the Windows Phone
version
is in the store.
Windows Phone
version
is in the store, and other versions are coming to store soon.
Yeah, I have prototypes, and the cool thing is that your audience is going to be able to download the source code for all of these.
Cool.
So it's a universal Windows app for Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1.
Mm-hmm.
So the Windows Phone 8.1 is live in the store today. And then I also have an iOS prototype also running on iPhone, and I also have an Android prototype running for on different Android devices.
And so this is a real live app. This is exactly the kind of stuff that we're telling people you should go do, right? You should use Azure on the back end for notifications and for the cloud computing. You should build multiple front ends. This is like a perfect example of what we hope people will do. And you're going to kind of walk us through what you did and maybe give some tips and tricks and...
Yeah, that was the whole goal.
Okay.
I mean, we have a lot of samples, of course, on a Microsoft website, and you can, of course, there's a lot of MVPs and people that blog and they give samples, but I figured it'd be great to actually build a real app. It's still a beta, so it's not as full-featured as GroupMe or WhatsApp yet, but I mean, I wanted to show how you could actually create something like those great apps purely with Visual Studio and Azure, and of course I'm using a lot of the not cross-platform tools, but the other native tools from other platforms. So the iOS version is actually built natively in Objective-C, in Xcode. The Android version is built inside of Eclipse, with Java. And then of course the universal Windows version for phone and tablets and desktops is basically built all in Visual Studio. But the whole backend is Azure. We have native support for all of this. And for .NET developers out there or C# developers that would like to maybe do the same thing, if they want to cover more than one platform, I know that you're good friends with Xamarin, since our friend James was actually
had
James
here. On several times.
Exactly. So all of this could have been done for iOS and Android using Xamarin as well.
Right.
All within the Visual Studio.
Okay. Cool.
So, I guess you want to see this, right?
I do.
Let's jump in. Okay, so what I did is, what I'm going to show you is the app first, so you can see how it works, and then we can start diving into some of the moving parts of it. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to run the Windows version inside of the emulator. And right there, actually, this is one of the cool things about this, about the emulator for Windows Phone, is that if you work with, for example, with iOS, there's a simulator that comes with iOS, but it kind of just fakes the iOS app within a simulator. It's technically still running on Mac OS X, which means you cannot do push notifications on the iOS simulator. You need to have a physical device.
Right.
Whereas with Windows Phone, our emulator just rocks, and you can actually do everything directly in the emulator
and
here.
It's hard to get really inexpensive versions of this device. You can get very cheap Android devices. You can get very cheap Windows Phone devices.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of very cheap versions of this.
You can, exactly, no. I mean, this, you're still going to spend hundreds
of
dollars.
Although in all likelihood, you've got dozens of friends who have five of them sitting at home because they upgrade every time a new one's out.
So yeah, exactly.
So that's probably the way to get a cheap
one. Yeah, the moment is a new one out, they always have to go to the Apple store, buy the new shiny, we call it the
ice sheet. The five comes out, then they give the four to the kids, and the six will come out, they'll give the five to the kids, and maybe the four no one's using, so...
Yeah, so
you're willing to go a couple releases behind, you might be able to.
Yeah, that's why I'm just using a 4S here. It's not nothing fancy. I don't want to give them more money than they need, you know. So, but for Windows Phone, for example, if you don't have a Windows Phone device, because sometimes you need to have a machine that supports second-level address translation to run the emulator. If you don't have a machine that can run this, you can go buy a Lumia 520 for less than $50.
Right.
So Amazon has it for $49. They even have deals sometimes, so it's a super affordable device. Yep. And that's off contract.
Right.
You don't even need to sling for 2 years or anything.
Right.
That's a Go phone. All right, so right here I can start chatting. So chatting live from the Channel 9 studio. And then I can just click send. And then there was like a slight delay there.
Immediately. I don't know about a slight delay. It immediately showed up on
my phone. Yeah, it came very fast. And I see it here on my iOS device as well. Because basically what I normally, if you write a chat app, you would, the moment you type, you would immediately post it to your own UI and then send it to a server so it can be broadcast to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case here, I deliberately avoided doing that. I wanted to show how fast a round trip could be. So I disabled posting immediately. I wait until it sends up to the server, to the cloud, using Azure Mobile Services. It gets saved into a table. Then there's a script written in Node.js in the table up there that talks to the three notification hubs, one for Windows, which is the Windows Notification Services, one for Apple, which is Apple Push Notification Service, mm-hmm. and then Google Cloud Messaging for Android. It pushes it, it does a broadcast to all three, and then when it comes down, if the app is running here, like just such as it is right now, I'm actually intercepting the notification in the background, and then mm-hmm. I simply push it directly on the screen. So what you when it got posted here, it did that full round trip to the cloud and back.
Yep.
So that's actually pretty good. So, and see, we have actually some people that, as I said, it's a live app. So there's people that are actually live chatting right now. So hopefully they behave. And so I can do the same thing, for example, with the iOS version. So if I switch over here, what I'm going to do is go to my, so I'm actually running both operating systems here. And what I can do is I can launch my reflector here so I can display my Apple device directly on my screen. So now you can see right here on my screen. So if I wait here, so what I can do, why don't you chat something in here? So you will see the actual toast pop up here. And then it's going to show up directly on the iPhone. Okay, we're still typing. Send. And then boom, see we got the toast that just showed up right here. And then on the Windows version, I even added a little something extra that's kind of fun. Is you probably didn't hear it right now, but I actually
did hear voices.
Yeah, I added speech support.
Oh, cool.
Because I have a bit of a personal cause where I just cannot stand people that use their apps in their cars when they're driving or they're texting or something like that. So I figured if I'm going to write a chat application, I think anybody that creates this kind of app, it should be a responsibility for them to add speech support and hands-free support so that people, we all know how we tell people not to use the apps, but they still do.
Right.
So we should make it easier for them to maybe, if they can't put the app down, they can maybe use it hands-free.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did here is I actually added speech support thanks to the Speech SDK in Windows. And whenever somebody chats, if it's not you, of course, if it's somebody else that chatted something, then the phone just says out loud what it's at. The live version in the store doesn't do this yet because I thought it would be a little annoying to do it all the times. So what I'll do is in the next version, I'll add it as a toggle so you'll be able to turn it on and off.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it does right here. The Android version is the same thing. And now in terms of the implementation for this, and I have the Windows version, I guess I could have shown right here. So I can go to the Windows version, I'll go debug, and I'll say, start a new instance, and then it's actually going to run directly here. And what I do is actually it docks pretty well, so I can actually create a nice snap view right here. And then what I can do is I can come back and show the Windows Phone Emulator. So you see how there's the Windows Phone Emulator here, and then I can come in Windows and I say, we are chatting from the Windows version, like this. Enter, and then it just showed up right here on the right, and
it's immediate. It showed
exactly. It's immediate
very
right
fast.
Here, so it just showed
up. Of course, is what you want for a chat app.
Yeah, and you see also this is a universal Windows app on the Windows version, and it actually shares 100% code. So the UI is the same.
Yep.
That's why for Windows it looks a little constrained right now. It doesn't use a full width, and on screen you see that whenever I'm actually on a device that actually has like a keyboard in its own Windows, you see that I actually show the send button next to the box here, but right. then here on the phone, you don't see it. Because on Windows, if you want to see the command bar at the bottom, you would actually have to right-click, and then you would see the button send, refresh, right. feedback like this. But the thing is, it's not really practical always to have to say, like, swipe up, send. So, of course, if you have a keyboard, you can just press Enter.
Yes.
But then at the same time, what I do is I detect if there's a Windows version, and I have this button right there, and if I'm on Windows, I turn it on, okay. and if I'm on Windows Phone, I simply make it invisible.
Okay.
So because on Windows Phone, the command bar is always there.
Right. So do you have one, the XAML file, the view is actually in the shared as well? So you're sharing yep. that as well? Or you don't have a store version of the view of main page?
No, okay, let's take a look. Got so it. If you look, for example, under the Windows Phone version, yep. all I have is my base, like, assemblyinfo.cs. I got my references. Yep. So of course I use the Live SDK because I also use authentication so that you use authenticate via the Microsoft account. Right. Of course Azure supports more than this. You can authenticate via Twitter, via Facebook, yep. via even Active Directory, Google ID. So and I've got my shared project right here. I'm using Azure Mobile Services, messaging. All the communication is done via JSON.NET.
Are you using the Live SDK in the Apple and Android versions?
Right now, the Apple and Android versions don't have the support for authentication yet.
Okay.
But it's something definitely that I will add. That's why I haven't published it yet
okay.
on those versions.
And you're going to use the Microsoft ID accounts for
yes.
those? Okay.
Yeah, you can use my, well, that's why I also want to add support for other authentication methods. On Windows, it made sense to use the Microsoft account because you already yeah. have it because you're using the device.
Right.
But for other platforms, I know not everybody might have one, so that's why I'm going to start allowing you to authenticate either via Twitter or Facebook mm-hmm. or Microsoft account.
Right.
But I will give you a choice of all of those, including Microsoft account on the iOS yeah. and Android, because that's actually supported, and we have a full SDK for
this. In an app like this, the authentication is really just to essentially get your name, and if there's data in there that's specific to you, to be able to retrieve your data. It's not a question yeah. of security. The app is available for everybody to use, but you have to have some way of identifying yourself. The easiest thing to do is just piggyback on your existing Facebook or Twitter or Microsoft account or other ID that you already have.
Exactly.
In addition, you don't have to keep a list of names and passwords, and you don't have to be responsible for people needing to reset
with
their passwords.
Privacy and yeah. all these issues that
Why
can come up.
That?
Yeah,
exactly.
you don't want to deal with custom right. authentication. There's already great systems that have been set up.
Yeah.
You want to leverage those. You don't want to reinvent the wheel. That's why Azure is so great
yeah.
for that. It gives you access to all these services. So for now, it's a global chat room. Everybody chats in the same room. Another feature that I plan on adding is the ability to have either separate global chat rooms, but also the ability for you to create your own chat room.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to either set a password to it and anybody who has the password can come in, or maybe do an invite. At this point, if you do an invite, then the authentication will be
right.
kind of your key to enter right. a specific
create
room.
Create your own friends, your groups of people that you want to chat with.
Yeah, so you see right here, back to your question when you're asking about the Universal App, I have the Windows Store version as well, which is the same thing. All I
mm-hmm.
have is configuration in here,
okay.
a few assets for logos and tiles, but all the code is in a shared project. So I've got common assets for tiles. I have my styles. I've got some extensibility because my list, I use a list view, but I basically went and stole a little bit of code from the toolkit, the WinRT toolkit.
Okay.
And there's a cool feature that Microsoft has added in that toolkit that allows you to automatically scroll the list to the bottom. So instead of bringing the entire toolkit, I just went and grabbed a couple of those classes,
yep.
and that's what developers should do sometimes.
Sure.
They should go grab that stuff, and then same app.xaml.cs for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Chat item is basically my class that I use to basically just, like, you
yep.
know, like ID, the text, the username, and things like that. And then my mainpage.xaml right here. So let me open it up. If I open it up and try to see the whole thing like this, it's basically the same one that's used for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a progress ring that I'm using, and then I'm using a grid stack panel, and I got my list view right here with a data template, just with two lines, a chat user, the chat line. It's very basic in terms of the UI. I wanted to keep it simple. And then my text box, and then I've got my app bar button that is to send. And you see, like, the visibility by default is collapsed.
Okay.
But then what I do is, so if I expand this here, you can see the Windows Phone version. So I'll just say fit all like this. So now I see the Windows Phone version, but again, what you can do is you can say, I want to see this UI as the Windows Store version.
Right.
And then it's going to load the designer and show me that version right there. And then you can put it on top, you can put it on the side. So again, let's fit all. And now I see the Windows Store version. Mm-hmm. So right now it's not the best UI for Windows. That's why it's kind of like all cramped in the middle, but.
Yeah, it's a chat app. I mean.
It's a chat app, but I plan on using
actually. How beautiful does it need to be?
I plan on using a hub control so that you would see multiple panels. Maybe one could be the different chat rooms.
Yes.
The other one could be the chat, and then the other one could be the users that are currently logged in.
Certainly at the point where you have the ability to have multiple chat rooms, that would be a great use for that. Right now it's all just one big chat, so it's perfectly fine to just use it in a list.
Exactly. And then, for example, if you want to see how you can, for example, change the UI, if I come here in my code, you can notice that when I... So see, I do a pound if mm-hmm. Windows app, then my button, I set the visibility to it. So right now on Windows Phone, it's not active. If I switch to Windows Store, then it becomes active, and it sets the visibility to visible, and then I can set the height as well on it for the proper height. So it's a great way that you can kind of tweak your UI. You mm-hmm. build your UI, including all the elements that you need, but then you can just go turn stuff on and off in the code behind. Because unfortunately, we don't have a way to do pound ifs in XAML. That would be great, right?
Wouldn't that be great?
So feature request. I think that would be awesome to do this. But this is a great way of doing so.
And now you just have one mainpage.xaml. You don't have two different mainpage.xamls that differ only because of that button or only because of a handful of lines of code.
Exactly. Oh, no. Universal app projects are definitely great for that. Yeah. Everything is in here. I have one chat class. I have one... main class, basically this is the main application right here, the app.xaml.cs, and only one XAML page and the code behind that goes with it. And then in the background, we basically have Azure. So if you want to learn more about Azure, it all starts at azure.com, mm-hmm. it redirects you here. You can go find all the documentation, for example, on, you can drop down. So I use mobile services for this. I use push notifications for this, and I also use the authentication as well service. And then if I look here at my mobile services, you can see I have my Azure Chatter service. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is I can get full telemetry on this, so I can start seeing some activity. I mean, the app doesn't have much traffic today.
Right.
It's more of a test app, really. And in fact, some people have been asking, like, it's very quiet in here, but eventually I'll get there. I suppose after this show hits live, we're probably going to get a few more users.
Probably.
I should give a disclaimer that right now, there's no way to turn off notifications on the app. So that means once you install it and you launch it, you'll get the notifications. So if people chat, you will always get the notifications. The only way, unfortunately for now, to mute those notifications is to uninstall the app.
Oh.
That's a feature that's coming.
Okay.
I just want to give a disclaimer
Hopefully
to everybody.
It's coming by the time this goes live.
Yeah, I'll be working on it. So you can see your full activity right now. So you can see how many devices are active right now, and then the data out, the number of calls that have been made.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the background, I can come look at my data, and I've got my chat item table right here. And there's no secret here. This is a public-facing app, so it's not like I'm revealing secret chat messages from people. But you can see basically all the chat items from people, the username of who's been chatting. So mm-hmm. I've been one of the main culprits, as you can see. I even capture timestamps that I plan on showing eventually. But the key here is the notifications. So when I go to scripts, I'm actually using Node.js in the background. So it's all JavaScript code. And then in my insert function, so with the moment a new thing comes to the table, an insert is done, then normally all they would do is their request.execute, and that's it, it's just done. But now, instead, I actually create a notification hub service. I actually have access to the full shared access signature here. Because whenever you work with notification hubs, you have just two endpoints that you can connect to. There's the shared access and the full access. The shared access is the one that's in the app, because the app itself is not posting notifications. It's just receiving notifications.
Right.
The full access is done from the cloud, and that's a secure mm-hmm. environment. So this way, if somebody were to decompile my app, they wouldn't be able to then suddenly steal my endpoint and my key and start spamming my users.
Okay.
They wouldn't have access to that. It's all done directly in the cloud here. And then what I do is I talk to all three services. So I've got hub.wns, mm-hmm. which is Windows Notification Service, and we have a lot of templates for notifications. So I use CentOS text 04, and then I pass the username, the text, eventually I'll pass the timestamp as well. Of course, I should probably be doing a little bit of logging if it doesn't work, but it's still in beta.
Yeah.
And then what I do is for Google Cloud Messaging for Android, then I create a GSM payload, which is all in JSON. Mm-hmm. And I include the item, so people are still chatting, I guess. And then the username here. And then I simply do hub.gcm.send, okay. and I pass my payload. And same thing with Apple Push Notification Service. I create a payload using the JSON format for the fields I'm expecting, and I simply send it. So as you can see, it's one line of code to create a payload, one line of code to send it to the notification service. It's
very cool.
It's really easy to use.
And if you had written the mobile service as a .NET mobile service in VB or C Sharp, then this code would be in VB or C Sharp to do the same thing.
Exactly. Yep. So I use JavaScript because I intend to show this a lot to other developers, for example, on Android and iOS. That's why I use the native platform. So I figured everybody understands JavaScript, so it's kind of friendly for everyone. But definitely, with the .NET version, it's quite cool. And then, of course, to configure this, what you need to do is you need to come to the service hub, and then the service bus, and then in the service bus, I have my chatter hub. And if I look under notifications here, then I've already configured the Azure Chatter Hub for push notifications. So over there, it was showing me the entries, the telemetry for the entries in the Azure Mobile Service table. Mm-hmm. Now here, it's actually showing me the actual push notification messages that have been sent in the last couple hours. And I can see here a number of pushes, API calls, a number of active devices that are running. And the key is this piece right here. And I shouldn't be showing this too long because I don't want people to steal my keys here. So no stealing my keys,
for
please.
As long as you want, then change them.
Yeah, exactly. I think
they've already appeared.
Yeah, exactly. I've already
shown this. We do this all the time.
Yeah, so this is basically showing the Windows notification
settings. I understand
settings.
That, you know, this is going to go live after we tape this. So by the time people are watching this, you will have already changed
this. Yes, so it should be a good practice. So for Windows notification settings, whenever you create your store project and you in the store you say, I want to reserve a new app name, mm-hmm. you have an option to then say which services you're going to be using.
Right.
One of those services is the Windows notification service, and then that will give you a package SID and a client secret.
Right.
You take those, you come and post them here.
Yep.
For Google, you simply go to the Google Developer Console in the cloud, and then same thing, you say, I want to create a new console API key, and for Android, and then it's going to give you a key, you come and paste it here. For Apple, it's kind of hard. They make you jump through a lot of hoops to actually do this. So you go, because you need to basically end up with just that certificate thumbprint right here. And you basically have to create a certificate, and then you have to register it in your keychain, and then you generate, like, there's so many steps. Fortunately, we actually have great documentation for this. So you can go to push notifications, get started for iOS, and then right here, we have a full walkthrough. So mind you, this is on Azure.com from Microsoft. We have a full walkthrough showing you how on your Mac and using your developer account with Apple, how you can create all these steps. Because you have to generate a certificate for signing request file. Then you have to register your app for push notifications. Then after that, you have to, there's a lot of steps as you can see.
Yeah.
And then you have to create a provisioning profile for your application and so on. And then you have to configure your notification hub to add the info in there. And then finally, you can connect your app to the notification hub. We walk you through the whole thing. And I kid you not, our documentation on configuring Apple push notifications is better than Apple's.
Yeah.
So Apple developers actually come here to do this, and I've had testimonials from actual Apple developers that have said, I wish I had known about this 6 months ago because it was just so hard to configure this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I'm now at this point, my hubs are configured, and my Azure Mobile Service insert script can then talk to those hubs. So the chain is easy. The app posts Azure Mobile Services, the insert script, send a notification to the hubs, and then to the services, and then finally it gets
this is all being done with a handful of lines of code.
Yeah, it's actually
not a lot of code in this so far.
To be honest with
have
you,
we missed a lot. Or
No, actually, there's a few more things I guess I could show you in the code. So for example, this is the authentication scheme right here. Mm-hmm. So I use the live SDK. I just create my session. So this is all pretty easy. So everybody will be able to download it. Insert chat item. See right here, that's my line that I commented where I don't add it to the list view. I wait until it comes back. And then well, this is just to refresh the view. That's my scroll to bottom right here. That's coming from that extension method. To detect the enter key right here, send the chat line. All I do is I create a new chat item mm-hmm. object. I add the text and the username and a timestamp to it. And then I simply insert chat item directly to the Azure Mobile Service. And then this is where I initialize my notification async. So it's actually not a lot of work. You simply create a new channel, which is a push notification channel manager. With, and I love this method name, create push notification channel for application Excellent. Async. There's no ambiguity about what this does. Right. It's super effective. Then that's the endpoint right here where I'm actually yep. using the shared access key, mm-hmm. the one that only lets you read notifications but not post to it. And then I register my native my native hub right here, register native. And then if my registration ID worked, then I simply say, chat channel is ready. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is happening in the background thread. Always use dispatcher.run async when you want to write to the UI from a background thread. Otherwise, you might run into some unfortunate results. And then finally, I set my push channel as a global object, and I create an event handler mm-hmm. to receive push notifications. On push notifications is whenever I receive a notification from the server. And then all I do is I check the type of notification I'm receiving. Because we have a lot of different types of notifications in Windows. It could be a badge, which is just a number that shows up on a tile.
Okay.
It could be a tile update itself. In those cases, I kind of ignore it. The app doesn't use those formats.
Are you sending those?
No, I'm not sending them. Okay. It's just I put the code in here so people can see the different types. Okay. But the one I care about is the toast.
Okay.
That's the only one that I'm sending right now. So this app would never receive other types of notifications.
But you could easily set it up. The badge would be on the home screen where the app tile shows you the number of messages yes. you haven't read yet.
Yeah, definitely. Right. That's also, I have a long shopping list of features I need to add to this. So building a chat client is not hard to build the basics, but of course the feature list just keeps growing and growing.
That's probably true of any software, right?
Exactly, pretty much. So
and
here,
then you spend all this time and then you show it to some wanker like me and I immediately come up with 8 things that should be in there and you go, oh yeah, I'll add that to the list. Shut
okay.
up already.
It's okay, you're not the first. And
sure.
by the way, these are all very valid suggestions because of course, if you receive a toast, the cool thing is on Windows Phone 8.1, we have the new Action Center.
Yes.
So you can actually see your toast in there. But at the same time, it'd be good to actually see, oh, you receive 5 notifications
right.
in the app directly on the tile. Because I want people to pin the tile to the start screen, of course.
Of course.
So now I get my XML from my toast. I extract the information, the username, the chat line, the date time from the inner text. And then finally, again, I talk to the main UI thread and I create a new chat item. And this time I actually go add it to the list view and I force a scroll to bottom to make sure that the user can see a scroll. And then what I do is if the chat line is not the same as the last chat line, basically if the chat line is not the same as the one I just posted, so
right.
if it's somebody else that's been chatting, then what I do is I call read text.
Mm-hmm.
And in read text right here, this is where I have a global toggle that right now is a true, but in the live version it's false. And what I do is I create a speech
and
synthesizer.
Speech synthesizer is where? What namespace is that
the
in?
Speech synthesizer is actually, I can show you all here at the top, it's part of the let me just scroll down a little bit. It's right here,
Windows.media.
That's speech synthesis.
Right. So built in. You
yeah,
didn't have to go acquire something to get that.
It's no, like it's all there built into the the main SDK. And then to actually talk, then all I do is I create a speech synthesizer right here. And then there's a lot of voices that can be installed on your phone or your device. So what I do is you can access the all voices. That's a mm-hmm. collection of voice items. And then what I do is I set the speech voice to the first female voice that I find that has the word United States in the description. So that's basically the Microsoft Zero Mobile is the default American
this
female
voice. Of course
voice.
You'd make a setting in the app so that I could choose the voice I want to hear.
Yes, that's but I already have an app that does that. So I have a little app called Talk to Me in the store. It's a text-to-speech app. It automatically detects all the voices on your phone because you can install additional voices.
Okay.
And it lets people do text-to-speech. You just type and it says it out loud. And so very simple app.
I'll use that when I can install Gilbert Gottfried as the voice.
That'd be good. So then once I have my voice, I simply create a speech synthesis stream. So this is different from Windows Phone 8. Those that have used the Speech SDK on Windows Phone 8, you were using the speech synthesizer, setting the voice, and then you would immediately say, speak out loud, like text speech, it was speak string async or something like that. Now, there's a few more steps, but those few more steps give us more power. Because first you have to create a stream, and then we also, right here at the top, I have a media element that I've created at the top, so which is a media player object. So I create I synthesize the text to stream async, which the text that I receive, which is the chat line. And then, once I've created that stream, I set the source of my media element to that stream. And then finally, I simply play it.
Okay.
The beauty of using the stream and the media element gives you a lot more power because, for example, you can take the stream and you could save it. You could save it to a file, then you could attach it to an email, send it to someone, or things like that, or post it somewhere so it could be played on a different device. The beauty of using a media element is that before you had a way to cancel, let's say you had a really long string that was being played, you could cancel it, but you couldn't resume it.
Okay.
Now with a media element, you can say pause, and you can say resume, like play again. So a few extra lines of code to do speech, but a lot more capability came with it. And that's basically it. That's the app.
Nice.
So it uses a little bit of everything. The features, of course, are going to be coming, but the base functionality, it's all there. It uses Windows, universal Windows apps, authentication via Microsoft account, and Azure mobile services, Azure notification hubs, and even Speech SDK.
And now, in this example, for the iOS version and the Android version, you wrote those natively. As opposed to using the Xamarin tools.
Yeah, you can actually see right here, that's the, I'm inside of Xcode right now, and it's the same thing. I have my Azure chat service right here. So same thing, I'm connecting and creating a new Microsoft client. I client with application URL string. I provide my application key to connect up there. And then, of course, now the code, this is all Objective-C here. You could do this in Xamarin with C Sharp, of course, if you wanted. And then it's the same thing. So I add an item, and then down here, this is where I can handle different requests with a response. So anyway, I'll let the iOS developers out there go play with this. Same thing with the Android version. I didn't load Eclipse right now to do this, but it's all written in Java using the native Android SDK.
Okay.
So there's a lot of options.
Right. Cool. That's awesome.
Well, I hope people download it, play with it. I'll make sure to provide all the source files for your viewers so they can play with it. You can also contact me directly. They can contact me on Twitter, or I'll make sure that my contact info is available as well.
Right. This is cool. This is an excellent and simple and easy to understand example of the types of power you have building cross mobile apps with Azure today. And then you can play around with building the cross-platform stuff on the Xamarin tooling if you don't happen to know Objective-C and or Java.
Yeah. Well, just to put it in perspective, I've been learning a lot of these things as well at the same time. It's not like I was an expert on all these things. It was a good learning platform for me as well. Building the universal Windows app took me 2 days with a lot of experimentation, including like getting stuff from the WinRT toolkit and everything. Building the Android version, and mind you, I had never done an Android app before. I'd done Android on using Xamarin and C Sharp, but I had never used Eclipse. I had never used Java to build an Android app. And building the Android app took me 2 days. And then iOS, I had done Objective-C before, but I had never used it with Azure yet. And or at least I used Azure, but not push notifications. And it took me a day to build the iOS version. So overall, all four platforms, if you count both Windows versions as separate, 5 days
nice.
It took me to build this. So and then after that, I added a few more features, so maybe 6 days, because I spent an extra day after that adding a few more features before I published the Windows Phone app.
Right.
So there's more features that are coming, but when you think that normally the amount of time you would spend to build something that goes to the store, I mean, we're talking about 3 days for the live version, plus 3 more days for a couple of prototypes. So typically, that means like in less than a month, somebody could build a production application across all these different platforms, provided they have the skill set for all of them.
Sure.
And it's very doable. So
yeah,
it's a great productivity tool.
And if you don't feel like learning Objective-C or Java, then you just get the Xamarin tools.
Yes.
And
well,
save yourself a tremendous amount of time.
Oh yes, I don't enjoy doing Java or Objective-C, to be honest with you. That's why my Mac here is primarily for Xamarin development and not really for native iOS development. I've done it in the past, but I'm actually debating on if I'm gonna the release version of Android and iOS, if I'm gonna publish them with the native tools or if I'm gonna use Xamarin. I think
if you already know them, then you know you can decide. If you're like me and you know C#, but you don't know these other things.
Yes.
And it's kind of a no-brainer. I'm not going to take the time to go learn Objective-C or Java.
Yeah,
and absolutely take the time to, you know, figure out how to do the UI on them inside the Xamarin tooling. And I might actually build the iOS UI in Xcode, depending on whether or not I thought that was, you know, a better design environment. I have the ability.
Yep.
But I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to go learn new programming languages.
Exactly, yeah. Especially since Apple has told people not to use Objective-C anymore and to learn yet another language, which we support in Azure, by the way.
Okay.
So that's good.
Either way.
But
right?
Either way.
I'm not interested in learning new languages.
Yeah.
I think if I was going to pick up a new language, it'd be F# before it was Objective-C or Java. That's just me.
Yeah, I love C#. I can do everything in C#. You can build games, you can actually do electronics programming in C#, and you can build all mobile apps and web apps and everything. So that's why, for me, it's also a no-brainer. So I'm actually leaning towards going with Xamarin to build the production versions of all of these.
Right.
Actually, especially now that we have cool designers for iOS and Android in Xamarin. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have good friends over there.
Cool.
So.
All right, thanks for showing us this.
My pleasure.
We will give pointers to the apps in the stores.
Yep.
We'll have pointers to the code that people can go take a look at, and we'll maybe put up some pointers to some of the docs you were showing.
Yeah, and actually in the coming weeks, I'll be blogging about this app.
Okay.
So I'm gonna be showing different pieces of
app
in a blog post. So hopefully by the time the show goes live, there might be at least already one or two blog posts about this.
Absolutely.
So people will have a way to go find it. So I'll give you my blog address as well.
ageofmobility.com.
Excellent. That's where it is.
All right, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed that, good stuff. Play around with this, there's a lot to learn here. And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.